Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Welcome back to the second hour, my dear Blood River Radio family. It's been so emotional tonight. I've gotten so many birthday cards, birthday wishes online, and birthday money. And I've told everybody about the two fabulous belt buckles I got, one from Sister Monica. I'll be buried with this one. In case you people are just picking up, fellow by the name of Rand Vail from British Columbia. He handcrafts metal products. They sent me two belt buckles. One of them was about 9/11. I wish I could show that to you over the air, but I'm just going to say this, read this one more time in case you people coming back on air. The belt buckle that really got me, shook me from the head to toe, and got me so emotional. The belt buckle says, "Sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust." And I don't have time to explain that to you what that's about, but I'll just say, a little six-minute video about the Holocaust got Miss Monica Schaefer put in prison in Germany. I don't remember if it was 8 months or 10 months, for so-called Holocaust denial and questioning facts about the Holocaust. And also on that front belt buckle, it has the photograph of Miss Monica. I don't know how they did it. It's in metal. And on the back, it says, "For my dear brother Eddie, Monica Schaefer." Man, I money wouldn't buy that, I tell you. Anyway, people, that's what we were talking about in the first hour. There's a few other things I want to talk about in the first hour, but we don't have time. So we're going to go. I'm going to introduce the guest on the night. We have the one and only, my spirit son, Jason Robb, attorney at law, who I'm so very, very proud of. He's from over in Arkansas. Tell him a little bit about yourself, Jason. Most of all the listeners know about you by now, but we have new people coming all the time, and we get letters from them and money. So go ahead, Jason. Tell the family about you.
Well, like you said, I'm Eddie. My name is Jason Robb. I'm from Harrison, Arkansas. I am an attorney here. Been practicing for about 20 years. I'm the son of Pastor Thomas Robb, who is the national director of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas. He's also the senior pastor of the Christian Revival Center. And him and my mom, they've been involved in the, if you want to call it, the white nationalist movement since the mid-60s. I've been raised in this cause. My family and children, my sister Rachel Pentagraph, her family, all of us, were all dedicated to try to awaken our people, try to spread what we call white Christian revival to our lost brothers and sisters out there. And so we've been doing this, like I said, since my mom and dad, since the 60s. And so they have been doing this for this amount of time, and we love what we do. We love trying to reach our people, spread the good news. And so that's a little bit of history about my dad. Most people are probably aware who he is, but they can always go to christianrevivalcenter.net or kkknationaloffice.com. They can get more information, and so I'm just happy to be here.
You know, and before we forget, Jason, we're having the big faith in Christian revival. You know how screwed my brain is. It's that they're faith, they're faith in freedom, right?
Yes, yes. So every year in April, we have our national conference here, put on by the Christian Revival Center, called the Faith and Freedom Conference, and we have that in April. We have that here at the Soldiers of the Cross Bible Camp, that's located on private property. It's about 15 miles north of Harrison, about 30 miles south of Branson, Missouri. Like I said, it's on private property. That's on April 29th, 30th, and May 1st. So about 2.5 weeks, we're having this conference. I'm going to be speaking. Rachel Pentagraph will be speaking. Of course, Pastor Thomas Robb, Steve Kukla from Oklahoma, and Tom Bowie, who's a staff member here. He's also originally from Maryland. And then also we have Pastor Everett Ramsey from Missouri. He's going to be down here speaking as well. So it's going to be a great conference. It's a family-friendly environment. We have modern facilities. We have, campground, and it's just a really great time. Anyone that we always tell people, anybody that's out there trying to reach our people, people are trying to organize. They need to come to a place where they can regroup, get re-energized, and then go back out to their communities, wherever they may be at, to try to awaken our people. And so our conferences, every time we do that, we try to make it where it's uplifted spiritually, so people can understand that we are all on a holy mission. And so that is the purpose of our conferences, to try to get our people to get excited about what we're doing and go out to their communities. We're all of us are people who have influence over people that surrounds us. You know, you have influence where you are at, Eddie, and everyone that listens to the show have influence around their family members and their friends. And so it's a way that we can help steer them in that direction to stay positive, because we are living in a wicked times.
Yes. You know, and I can vouch for going up there. It is so beautiful and serene. If you want to go somewhere, you can be with precious people, Christian people, gentle people, people that just, they love the Lord. It's so relaxing. And the scenery is beautiful. The weather is usually always nice, and the food is off the scale. I mean, the food is absolutely great. I cannot remember. If you don't go, you'll be cheating yourself. Jason, is there a way, can they go and get a map on the end, or is it for security purposes, or are you allowed to let the people know how to get there?
Oh, I mean, they definitely can. If they go to ChristianRevivalCenter.net, there's an email they can get a hold of us, and we can send them directions. It's very easy. It's on a secure location, so we're not concerned about anyone trying to disrupt the meeting, because like I said, it's on 100 acres, so we own all the property that surrounds us, so we're never concerned about getting canceled or anything like that. But yeah, we can send them directions. If they want to get a hold of you, Eddie, I can email you a map and you can forward to them, or they can contact, like I said, me or through the website. So it's very, there's not an issue about come there. The only people we just tell people, as long as you're white and with good moral character and a Christian, then you're welcome. And so, and the theme for this conference is blow the trumpet in Mount Zion. And so that's the theme for this conference. And so we're really excited about it.
Yes, we have to blow that trumpet, people, with pamphlets, with radio shows like this, with holding up signs in front of your church, so-called churches, in front of the universities. Blow the trumpet, raise the awareness. And before I go, I'll let you people know it is very, very secure up there. The sheriff, I think it's Boone County, is very he's a friend of Rob's and the friends of our people, and. The one time that the stupid Antifa and BLM, bless their precious retarded hearts, they thought they were going to go there and raise some trouble. Well, they were met by the sheriff's deputies of that county. And also, there's patriots up there that are, right. they're not like crazy or anything, but they're well-armed, they're trained. You do not have to worry about your safety. And I hope you'll go, and I intend on going.
All of Boone County and this Northwest Arkansas is predominantly white. You know, it's like 92% white, 95% white. So it's predominantly white. We have a lot of support in this area, and so we don't have issues that some people may suffer. If they're living in a multiracial area. The great blessings of diversity.
You got well, that's one blessing we can do without. Well, you know, before we go to our break, I guess we'll bring in the old Alabama coon hunter, the old Alabama deer hunter, which he's a hunter, and he's another one of my brothers. Well, that's my son who just came on. The Rand is a little bit too old, long in the tooth to be, but he's not nearly as long in the tooth as I am. But he's my dear brother. He's the chairman of the League of the South in Alabama, and he's going to come up with a little project tonight, and Jason's going to help him with it. They're going to do, and I'm going to, after I get through introducing Rand, after he tells what he's going to do, I'm just going to bring them in and out of the breaks, and my part for the night will be over. Go ahead. Rand, introduce yourself, brother, right quick. Like, we got about a minute before we go to the break.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Eddie and Jason. I'm just glad to be with y'all tonight. And as Eddie said, I am the state chairman of the League of the South in the state of Alabama. I am a Southern white nationalist. I love our people, and like Jason mentioned, we influence people every day that we're around, and that's what I try to do. I try to do it scripturally and morally, and do it the right way. And that's why I'm on here tonight, to discuss some of the things that actually you and Monica discussed in the first hour that should lead right into this.
Well, that's good news. Well, like I said, we'll be going to the break any second. I know, you know, I was telling, by the way, Jason, I was telling Rand about you. I said, Rand, have you ever seen anybody, as soon as you saw them, you saw they were goodness, and you just, they were speaking about you, clicked, and you're like fast friends, like you've known them all your life. And he said, yeah, Eddie, like me and you. I said, well, that's the way it is with Ryan. That's the way it is with Jason. I love these guys. I would do anything for them. People, we're going to a break. When we come back, we're going to take off of this Bible project that Rand's been putting in, and Jason is also a Bible scholar, and they're going to take it away, and I'm just going to be the master of ceremonies. So hang on to your seats. We'll be right back.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Blood River Radio family and all you warriors out there. I hope we have more warriors than we do anything else. We are going right back. I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to be the master of ceremonies with the remaining minutes of this hour. And Rand is going to introduce his project. And Jason is going to help out there because it's their show. So take it away, Rand. Tell people what we're going to do.
Okay, first of all, Eddie, I want to thank you for allowing me to have a few minutes of this precious airtime to discuss something that I have mentioned a few times on this show but couldn't get into very much detail. And we're going to discuss that a little bit tonight, if we could. And that is the word Kenite are Kenite Jews. It's an honor to be able to bring on here, to bring this, for lack of a better way to put it, to bring this message to y'all tonight. So with a word of wisdom from our Father, in Jesus' name, we will begin. So first of all, if you have a Strong's Concordance and you want to take a few notes or go back and listen to the archives, Kenites in the Strong's Concordance translates and means sons of Cain. Remember that. Now, some might ask, well, why do we need to know this? So let's go straight to the great book of Revelation. We're going to go to chapter 2 and chapter 3. And what is being covered here in those two chapters is a message from Christ concerning seven churches. Now, there were only two out of those seven churches that Christ found no fault with, only two. So if you want to, or if we want to be pleasing to Christ, or even maybe know which church to attend, then we might need to know exactly what these two churches were teaching. Those two churches are the Church of Smyrna and the Church of Philadelphia. And Christ held them up. He praised them. He compliments them too. Two of the seven. Why? Because of what they were teaching. And quite frankly, if you don't understand the word Kenite, who they are, where they are, and what they are, then you're not going to understand exactly what pleases our Father. This may sound a bit matter of fact, you might say, but I can assure you that it is fact. So let's look at Revelation 2:9 that identifies the Church of Smyrna, again, one of the only two churches that totally pleased Christ. And we're going to read a couple of scriptures here. We're going to start off with Revelation 2, chapter 8, and we're all going to read the first sentence of chapter 8 just strictly for identification. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna. So we know who he's talking to. Verse 9, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I just want to stress to the brethren, if you do know, if you do have the knowledge of what we're going to discuss here in the next few minutes, you are indeed rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now, let's take that word Jew or Jews. There are two peoples that can identify as Jews, one being of the tribe of Judah. Judah being the fourth of the 12 patriarchs. I repeat, Judah was one of these 12 tribes. Documentation is Genesis 29:35. So Judah's children can be identified as Jews, or it can be a citizen of Judea, or one that sojourns there in the land of Judea. Sojourn meaning a guest, to dwell, to live with, a stranger, if you will. Just as someone who moves, whether we like it or not, to Alabama from another place becomes an Alabamian. So we know that these are some peoples that moved into the land of Judea that call themselves Jews, but are not. Matter of fact, this group of people are of the synagogue of Satan. Again, documentation, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. And the other church, it's the Church of Philadelphia, and we can find where this is addressed in Revelation 3, and we're going to read verse 7 just for identification, just the start of it. And to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia, we'll read a little more of this one. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true. This is why we read it on down. He that hath the key of David. And there again, brothers and sisters, if you have that key of David, if you have that knowledge in your head, if you can tell the difference between the false and the faith, you are truly blessed. I'm going to skip 8. I'm going to go on down to 9 for time's sake. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie, Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So, you see, these was the only two churches that Christ found no fault with. Matter of fact, he praised them. He was proud of them. And he held them up for what they taught. And basically what this comes down to the very basics of it, in my opinion, is knowing the true from being deceived, because we all know Satan is the great deceiver. So staying in the New Testament, let's go over to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, and we're going to go to verse 24, and this is the parable of the sower. And we're going to read verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. And really the reason we come to read this, verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy, key word, came and sowed the tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? Of course he did. Christ only sows good seed. Our Father only sows good seed. Whence then have it tares? Because he didn't sow them. In verse 28, he said unto them, an enemy again, Christ speaking, identifying the enemy, hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? So here we go. And this was what those churches taught. And now we're going to go down to verse 35. That was the parable. We're going to go to verse 35 in the same chapter. And this is going to be Christ explaining that parable. Well, one of the few parables that he actually explained. And verse 35 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. The beginning, foundation from the very beginning. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away. He sent all the masses away, and he spoke just to his disciples. And they went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered, and he said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children. We ain't talking about barley here, friends. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, who is the wicked one? Well, he's going to tell us, 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, the good seed are the children, the wicked one, and 39, and it shows that the bad seed are of the devil. So remember verse 35, remember about the foundation. From the very beginning, and since we're going to talk about beginning, let's go over to Genesis chapter 3. And just as a note, if you want to know all the names that Satan's called, most of them are in Revelation 20, verse 1 and 2. They're there for you. So we're going to start here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and it reads, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said unto the woman, hey, hath God said, ye shall not eat every tree of the garden. I hear the music.
Yeah, we hear. Thank you so much, Rand. We're going to go to a quick break, people. Rand's going to come back and wrap this his project up, and he's going to have a discourse with our other guest, Jason Robb. We'll be right back, people. Hold on.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv. A spokeswoman for Johnson said that the visit was a show of solidarity with the Ukrainian people. During the meeting, Johnson pledged more military assistance, including 120 armored vehicles and new anti-ship missile systems. Johnson already promised $130 million worth of high-grade military equipment to the besieged country. Zelensky challenged other Western nations to follow the UK's example. Ukraine's state railway company said it would continue to evacuate as many people as possible from eastern Ukraine before Russia launches an anticipated full-scale attack on the region, though leaders in that part of the country said many are deciding to stay put. The company added it has evacuated about 3.5 million people since the Russian invasion began at the end of February. This is USA Radio News.
An adult elephant can weigh up to 6 tons. The average person, 150 pounds. Ever heard of carfentanil? It's a large wild animal tranquilizer. Illegal drug dealers lace heroin with it. It can kill the average human. If you or a loved one is addicted to opiates, even pain pills, don't wait until it's too late. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. We care. Many of us have been where you are. We'll take you or a loved one away from the drug environment to a place you can clean out safely. Plus, we'll work with your insurance company to make sure you get the treatment you need. And with a Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to get away for help without telling your employer why. Call now to save a life. 800-707-9709. 800-707-9709. That's 800-707-9709.
President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris celebrated the confirmation of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court on Friday. Jackson is the first black woman to be confirmed to the high court and will take over for Justice Stephen Breyer when he retires at the end of this current term. It was a partisan confirmation vote.
The Senate confirming Jackson Thursday with a 53-47 vote, with three Republican senators joining all 50 Democratic senators. Constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley tells Fox News Supreme Court nominations were not always this partisan.
At one time, it was considered to be a standard that you didn't vote against a nominee because of the judicial philosophy. You voted just on whether they were qualified. That time has passed.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
All of the major indexes on Wall Street had a losing week. They also remained down for the year to date. You're listening to USA Radio News.
God bless y'all, you people out there. You made my birthday so nice, so wonderful. It's beyond nice. It's just wonderful. I love y'all, you people out there so much. That's why we come to try to do battle here every week on this microphone. And we do battle in the streets. As you heard me talk about recently, I've got this marathon coming up, and as soon as that's over, I've got a lot of stuff to do. I'm going into Ole Miss. I'm going to try to broadcast down there. I don't think we have a chance in hell of getting permission to do that, but we're going to try to find some place to broadcast the show. I want to speak to the little airheads down there, and I'll be respectful for them and try to enlighten them. And we're going to pass out literature of all kinds, some for the league, some for the Blood River that I've made up. But anyway, let's see. I'm going back. My little sister, Janice Hamblin, sent me this. And this relates back to this for the first hour. It also ties in with this second hour. She says, the Talmud says, we're talking about the Talmud. In all these Jewish synagogues, they all have a Babylonian Talmud. It came out of Babylon, which was a very sinful nation. And you know, the Jews, when they were captured in Babylon, they took up that sinful religion. And the Talmud is just a group of kind of like old wives' tales or customs from rabbis. Anyway, here's what it says. She said the Talmud says that when their Messiah will only come, says that their Messiah will only come when all is evil. That is why the Scofield Bible was written the way it is, to make us expecting all to make us expecting all to get more evil is also why they have why they pollute our country with pornography, homosexual, etc. You know, Monica kind of alluded to that, something like that in the first hour. It kind of ties in with this hour. But anyway, I got to shut up now. Go back to you, Rand.
Okay. And I'm trying to rush. I want to give Jason plenty of time, but I'm trying to cover a lot in a short amount of time. I hope I'm not going too fast. I must go on going on to Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden. And those are key words, that tree. I don't have time to get into that right now, but there is two different trees there, just so to say. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And you can do this research for yourself. Don't take my word for it. But this word touch here translates back in the Hebrew to lie with a woman. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, that was a lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, little g, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So we have the sequence right there. And one more verse there, 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, does this say that they put on masks to cover their face because they had some kind of rash from eating an apple? No, it said they sewed aprons to cover their privates. And to go on, it also says in verse 13 down there that the serpent beguiled me. That word beguile, translated back, goes back to sexual, holy, seduced. One more verse here in this chapter, and it's verse 15, and it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So the serpent does have seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And it's got a King James Version has a star at verse 15, referencing Christ, and they indeed did bruise his heel when they nailed him to the cross. But brothers and sisters, we are going to bust Satan's gourd for him one of these days. Last verse here, verse 16, just to kind of nail it in the coffin. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrow and thy conception. Everybody knows what conception is. Thy conception right there. So Christ said that the enemy sowed the wicked children. And some will say, well, you know, I don't believe that, or that's a little bit too far out there. That's okay. You don't have to believe it, my friends, but Christ taught it. And he only complimented the two churches out of seven that taught it. And frankly, if you're not attending a church that teaches this, you're kind of in a heap of hurt. You're in trouble because you're most likely going to be deceived. And as far as those other five churches, read it for yourself. Just go ahead and read it for yourself. I don't have time. Genesis 4, we're going to go to 4 real quick. Verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. She did bear Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2, and she again, underlined that word again, she again bare his brother Abel. Now that word again, if you translate it back, that means to continue. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm very far from it. But when you continue in birth, that means that you have another child. So you've got twins here. You've got two conceptions, but you have twins. That does happen. Check it out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. I'm not a scientist, but it does happen. Now, once again here, you've got, was Cain Adam's son? Cain murdered his brother, and that made Cain the first murderer, which we'll get to in just a second. And now, when we're going to skip over to chapter 4, verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. The reason I even mentioned this here, because right here is Cain's genealogy. You will not find Adam in it. But I will warn you, if you go to reading this genealogy, there's a lot of names like Enoch, but this is not the good Enoch. This is a Kenoch Enoch, and there's a lot of names through there that are very confusing if you're not real careful. So this is Cain's genealogy, and Adam is not in it. Now, to verse 25, just to finish up right here on this part, and Adam knew his wife, and again she bare a son, and she called his name Seth, and said, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew. And then in chapter 5, you have Adam's genealogy, and read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Just read it for yourself. Cain is not in there. He is not in there, and the reason he's not in there, because he was not the child of Adam. Now, but you do find Seth, and in this chapter 5, this is this goes all the way to Noah. What I wanted to go here was the verse 32, and Noah was 500 years old. So what I'm getting at here, y'all, this lineage through Seth, through all the way down through Noah, this is the lineage by which Christ would come. And Satan tried to corrupt it over and over and over. Now, many's going to say, did the Kenites survive the flood? Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 6 right here. We're right here at it, Genesis chapter 6, verse 19. And it reads, and of everything of all flesh. And I'm not going to, that's all I'm going to say about it. But there were two of every flesh that boarded that ark. And, you know, we have a lot of people, probably somewhere around, 100 generations back to this time, around 6,000 years or over. Well, there's been a lot of changing going on if everybody come from just these two. And, yes, I do agree that Eve is the mother of all living, but only in so much that Christ came through her lineage. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have eternal life. And I want to emphasize lineage. That was very important to our Father Yahweh, Christ being a perfect lineage. I think it's important to him that we stay a perfect lineage. So did the Kenites make it through the flood? Real quick, let's go to First Chronicles. Let's go to 1 Chronicles, one verse. This is after the flood, and
We got to go to the music, Rand. If you can, kind of condense it a little bit, because Jason, I'm sure he's got some stuff he wants to comment about, too. People will be right back, folks, after this break.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys of the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say
something. Well, God bless you people out there. We're going to go right back to Rand because we got a lot of stuff to cram in here, but our other guest, Jason Robb, says he's right on the money, and Jason's going to come in and give his opinion in just a few minutes, give his scriptural knowledge in just a few minutes. Go ahead, Rand. I got to shut the hell up.
Well, I left off, and I'm going to hurry because I want to give Jason ample time, and I probably already cut into his time, but First Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, the last sentence says, "These are the Kenites that came of Hemath, the father of the house of Rechab." Now, check that out for yourself. And this is the all through that chapter, in chapter 2 right there, that is the genealogy of Judah, the patriarch Judah. But here at 55, it says the family of the scribes. These are people that they hired to come in and do the book work for them. Man, just think about that. They're doing the book for the tribe of Judah. They had hired some stranger to come in there. So we got 2 Chronicles 2:55, Jeremiah 35. But I would caution you on Jeremiah 35. That is those are not the good ones. Those are the bad ones. That's not the good Jeremiah. I would caution you about that. So did Christ teach anywhere else about the devil? Of course he did. St. John, as we've referenced here, Eddie, your favorite. Chapter 8, I'm not going to read it. I wanted to read verse 31 through 47. People can read it for themselves, but that identifies them. Christ himself nails them right there. It's no argument about it. Matthew 23, the chapter of the woes. And I will tell you, if it's a woe, brother, you don't want anything to do with it. So just go ahead and read. Just go ahead and read. Chapter 23, verse 1 and 2, and then skip down and read 23 all the way down to 35. A couple more. Paul in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, he nails them. Chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3 through 14, he was the great deceiver. Paul nails them. And I know one more, and I'm going to shut up. One more. First John, the Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 11, 12, and 13. Now, I'm going to say this. No matter what we call these people, y'all, there's an evil element out there. I think we all can agree with that, and that's what we're up against. And quite frankly, if you don't have Christ, you're in a heap of hurt.
That's right. We got to go to Jason. I'm just going to say, as far as I'm concerned, and I told Jason that this the other day, a Jew by any other name is a Jew. I mean, and so I got to shut up and go back to you. Jason, go ahead and tell us your opinion on all this whole thing.
So, yeah, I mean, I believe those scriptures that he's pointing out to are very accurate, that they're right on the point. I think what he's saying, and a lot of people, you know, don't understand it, you know, wholly, is that when we look at the Bible, Genesis all the way from Revelations, it's talking about a particular people, a particular family, a particular racial race. The Bible is a racial book, and from the very beginning of Genesis, it's talking about Adam, going all the way through Israel, all the way through Revelation. It's about a certain people, certain family, and so what he's talking about is definitely true. There has, from the beginning of time, there has been a division from God's people, and we understand that what Christian identity. I'm a follower of Christian identity. Some people call it the kingdom identity, and what it is that we understand that we are the same people, racial people, that is in the Bible, the covenant people, and there are these racially mixed individuals that people are called Jews. Arthur Koestler, who wrote about the 13th tribe, basically talked about it, who said that the Jews are not racially connected to those in the Bible. In 1943, in the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, it says, quote, "The Jewish religion as it is today traces its descent without a break through all the centuries from the Pharisees." We can look at Rabbi Louis Finkelstein. Obviously, that's not a white person. That's a racially mixed Jew. He had written a book called The Pharisees, it was published in the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York. This is what he says. Phariseeism became Talmudism. Talmudism became medieval rabbinism. And medieval rabbinism became the modern rabbinism. But throughout these changes of name, the spirit of the ancient Pharisees survives unaltered. So we have these modern day Jews who follows the same teaching as the Babylon Talmud. It's all the same, and as a result of that, it's directly conflict with Christianity and the Holy Bible, and rabbis, even I'm trying to remember one rabbi, and he basically said that Judaism would or Christianity would be the tool that we would turn Christianity into Judaism. And so ultimately, when it comes right back down to it, is that our people, our white race, our culture, our heritage that we love identifies with Christianity. You can't separate the two. And what we have here is our Christian faith, our Christian religion is being corrupted by Judaism. That's why when people say I'm a Judeo-Christian, they are basically saying that they are following Judaism. And Judaism traces all its hundreds and even thousands of years to the Babylon Talmud, the Pharisees. And Jesus preached specifically against the Pharisees. The Pharisee Jews, they hated Jesus Christ. They sought to kill him. And like you said, Eddie, from the very beginning on your show, how these rabbis, how they teach that Jesus was born of a whore. That's what they say he was. He was the son of a whore, that he's in hell right now, in urine. These individuals hate Jesus Christ, and they hate his descendants, and they hate his followers. That's why they hate Christianity so much. And so what Rand's talking about is absolutely true. It's basically why we see such a division in our white European countries, in America, and Europe, because of the fact that these countries and these nations were white Christian nations. And there is a specific design to genocide our people, designed to genocide the European people. We're all racially connected. White people are all racially connected. I don't care if you're in South Africa, in the United States and Canada and Europe, all of us, we're all connected to the same people. And there is a design, there is a genocide that's occurring in these white nations because inherently they want to destroy Christianity. Christianity has always been a trumpet for God and has always been used for God and Christianity. And Satan wants to destroy God's people. When Rand was talking about Revelations, I think what he has said, a lot of people are not aware of, in Revelations 3, talks about the Laodicean church. And it is the church, the last church that we're going to see before God returns. And anyone who wants to go and look in their strong coordinates, they can look up that word Laodicean. And that literally means the Church of Human Rights. And a lot of people are not even aware of that, but it means the Church of Human Rights. And it's a church of toleration. They tolerate race mixing, and they tolerate homosexuality. And if you read in Revelations 3, it talks about where God says that, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, that I would wish you were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. And what that means is I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Not spit, I'm going to vomit. And that's a gross description. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. And so what God is saying is that this last church we're going to see is the Church of Human Rights. And that's what we see today. These churches, they tolerate race mixing and they tolerate homosexuality. And so this church that we are basically seeing nowadays is designed to destroy God's people. And that is something that people need to be aware of. That if they're attending a church that allows race mixing, that promotes race mixing, and they allow foreign trips to Africa or in a Latin country that promotes race mixing, it is a Church of Human Rights. It's a Laodicean church. I want everyone to think about is that is why there is such a hatred against the foundation of America and the foundation of Europe, because for centuries, our country has always been a white central country and has been a Christian country. And that is why they are wanting to change the racial mix up or the racial foundation of America and Europe. Real quick before I'll let Rand talk or you, Eddie, my dad had wrote a book a few years ago called The Last Church. It's a dynamic book about what I was kind of talking about, the Church of Human Rights. And he just has finished a book called The Blood Trail, From Abraham to You, talking about how through not only Christianity, but from historical references that talks about how the white people, the white nations of today, are descended from Israel, that we are the same people. A lot of people are not even aware that the Scottish Declaration of Independence, in 1320, and the Scottish of Arbroath, talks about how Scotland, the Scottish people, were descendants of Israel. And so anyone can go to the encyclopedia, Google it, the Scottish Declaration of Independence, and read it. And you can see where they even say that they are descendants from Israel. And so it's a really interesting book. People that are wanting to learn and educate themselves, I would really encourage people to get those two books. They can get hold of me, and I can send those books to them for free. But if people need to understand that they have been deceived over the years, and they need to try to educate themselves a little bit.
Jason and Rand, this has been one hell of a show. I hate to see it end, but we are completely out of time. I think we need to do another hour of this before too long. But thank you so much, Jason. Thank you so much, Rand. Thank you, Blood River Radio audience. Thank you, Cameron, for making this show go so great. Cameron is our engineer. He does everything for us. Without Cameron, there would be no Blood River Radio. Thank all of you people. Guys, I'll be in contact with y'all very soon. You, Jason, and Rand. Good night, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight.